Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at one verse this morning. We want to sum up all of Christianity in one verse. Everything that has to do with salvation is in Christ. There is nothing apart from Christ that can save. And folks, we don't need a set of rules that we can't keep. We don't need an example we can't follow. What we need is a Savior. That's who Jesus is. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I'll read it one more time. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you that your power is the only power in all the universe. Even the power that the devil wields is on loan from you. Lord, we know that he is a defeated foe. It's just a matter of time until you cast him into the lake of fire. And Lord, I pray that we would learn the safety, the shelter of your wings and the hiding place, that we might live our lives in Christ. And Lord, that we might find extreme victory there. And Lord, I pray that you would just fill me with your Spirit. Remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to see, first of all, he begins with death. And that's the way we all begin. The Bible says we are born with a live spirit, a live soul, and a live body. And we keep that live spirit until the day that we first know right and wrong. When the commandment comes to our understanding and we break the law, we die spiritually. From that point forward, the only thing that can save us is to have a new spirit through the new birth experience. God is the only one who can do that. And so this morning I want you to see the death, verse 22. For as in Adam, all die. Now, I wanted to ask you something. How many is all? That's everybody. There is nobody that did not die through the sinful nature of Adam. None of us. Everyone died. Well, now the beauty of that is he uses the same word all in the next part of that verse. We're going to get to that in a minute. But notice here he says, in Adam, all die. That's the reason that the Lord told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Amen. Because without that, reform's not going to help you. Turn over a new leaf, try to have more good in your life than there is bad. Not going to work. What you have to have is a live spirit. Yeah. If your body dies while you have a dead spirit, you're going to go to hell. If your body dies while you have a live spirit, then you go to heaven. And that's where it's at. We have to have that live spirit. Look at the law of death with me. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4 says this, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That's known as the law of sin and death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now notice he tells us that in another place, the Son shall not die for the sins of the Father, and the Father shall not die for the sins of the Son, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's important because we are not born dead, as some people would have you believe. We're born alive. We have a propensity towards sin. We have a sinful nature, but we have a live spirit. That's the reason babies go to heaven. When a baby dies, he goes to heaven. Because it has not ever reached the age of knowing right and wrong, and therefore it does not die spiritually. Even though the sentence of death is upon it, if it reaches that age of accountability, and if a child gets old enough to know right and wrong, and he chooses the wrong, he dies spiritually, and he is dead from that point forward, and he has to be saved just like adults do. But up until that point, they go to heaven when they die. The law of sin and death is a very serious law. Every time somebody sins one time, they die. Now, we go on and we keep on sinning. We keep on accumulating wrath against the day of wrath because every time we sin, you see, one sin will sentence you to an eternity in the lake of fire. You ever thought about that? Two sins, the only thing you can do, you can't lengthen the time you're there. They just intensifies the punishment. And the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time. So by the time we get around to a lifetime, we have a serious problem if we go to hell. Because there's so many sins accounted to our charge that we will spend the rest of our eternity in the lake of fire. And that's a horrible thing. And it all is because of this law of sin and death. Somebody had to deal with that law. Now look at the life that dies. Now what part of us dies when we sin? Listen to Romans chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. And he's talking about a time in his life when, as a little child, he was alive without the law. But when the commandment came to his understanding, then sin revived, and he died. Now, that death was a spiritual death. He was still alive, or he wouldn't be writing this. He still had a mind, will, and emotions, but his spirit had died. And that's what he's talking about. So the part of us that dies is just the spirit. The Lord told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. It is that spirit that is dead in trespasses and sins that has to be given new life before we're ready for heaven. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony because we love not our life till the death. We put our trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for our salvation. When we put our trust in Christ, He then works that new birth in our heart. Now let's look at the length of that death. You know, I believe all the punishments of hell, everything that I know about hell, the most horrible is how long you have to stay there. If you're in hell for 100 million years, you're just getting started. Another 100 million years, you're no closer to the end. I don't know about you. I can't wrap my mind around that. I don't want any part of the lake of fire. And I certainly don't want to be there for billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of years and them saying, you still got more to do. You see, if you could take somebody out of hell this morning and bring them in here, they wouldn't wait for the invitation. They'd be on their face saying, save me, Jesus. Now, they don't get to come back and do that. But you see, we're here. And now is the time of salvation. And if you don't have Jesus in your heart, this is the time. And I'm going to tell you, if I was sitting where you're sitting without Jesus, I wouldn't wait for an invitation. I'd be on my face before God. Knowing what I know now, there is no time for delay. You don't know what a day will bring forth. You don't know if you're going to have another heartbeat. And so now is the time to make it right. Listen to this. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 26. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. It's permanent. See, once a person gets to hell, there's no getting out of hell. I believe that that is the one thing about hell that really pushed me towards salvation. It's, you know, if you say you go to hell and in 100 years you get out, you know, the whole idea of purgatory, that would be one thing. But to have to stay there forever, what is worth that? You know, you say, well, I'd be embarrassed to do this, or I'd be embarrassed for anybody to know that I've been pretending to be a Christian, or I'd be embarrassed. What is that compared to eternity in the lake of fire? That's nothing. If God wanted you to crawl on your stomach, do it. You see, it would be worth it. Don't go to hell. There's no place for man. Now let's look at the deliverance in this verse. Verse 22 again. For as in Adam all die, now look at this, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now how many is all? That's all. The same group of people that died in Adam had life in Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I love that. It's like Brother Jerry was saying this morning with his illustration with his little lighter. The potential for salvation is there for every man, but until we put our trust in Jesus, we do not claim what is our inheritance. We have the right to go to heaven if we choose. I'm going to tell you, God elected to save everybody. That's his will. Listen to what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. God wants every one of us to be saved. He wants every one of us to put our trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary, that we might have eternal life, that we might be born again, sealed into the day of redemption. That's God's will for us. We don't have to beg for that. All we have to do is receive it as a free gift. God has called us to repentance. God wants to save everybody. He forces nobody. You will not be forced into heaven. You're going to have to make that choice. Deliverance comes through the choice of our will. Let's look at God's way. How did God accomplish this for us? In Sunday school this morning, we talked about the body that God had prepared for Jesus so that he might take away our sins. That body came through the virgin birth. You see, the sinful natures passed through the men of the species, because everybody that will ever be born in that family line is passed on through the men in the DNA spiral, not through the women. And so God was the father of Jesus, and Mary was the mother of Jesus. And even though Mary was a common, ordinary woman, she did not have a sinful nature to pass on to that young son. And so he was born without a sinful nature, and he was able then to die for the sins of the world. He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And the virgin birth prepared that sinless body so that he could live a sinless life and then offer that sinless life on the cross for our sins. Listen to what he says here in Isaiah 53, 6 through 11. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Listen to this. Verse 11 is very important to our salvation. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. When God the Father saw the suffering of his Son on the cross, he poured out all of the wrath that would have been mine and yours and everybody, every member of Adam's race. He poured it out on Jesus in 3 hours, from the sixth to the ninth hour. He poured that all on Jesus. Nobody will ever know the suffering Jesus went through on that cross. Even the people who die and go to hell, they only die for their own sins. He died for everybody's sins. And the wrath of God was satisfied. And when all the wrath of God was poured out and it was satisfied and Jesus was there and the pain and the anguish went away, he said, "Tetelestai, it is paid in full, it is finished." And my debt and your debt was paid at that moment. And there was nothing left to pay. Now I want you to see Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13, God's whosoever. You know, one of the things that angers me is when somebody tries to take away the whosoever. God wants to save everybody. He's not just looking to save this one or that one and let the rest of them go to hell. God extends his whosoever to whosoever will. Listen to what he says here. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Mark it down. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever let anybody take it from you. That is salvation. And we're living in a day when everything in the world is being added to that. If you don't live right, you didn't get it. If you start going back into a life of sin, you've lost it. Folks, all of that is added to it. The salvation, plain and simple, is Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. The third day he rose again for our justification. If we put our faith in that, we'll be saved. But you know, the problem is if you try to add something to that, and part of your faith is in how good you live, you're not going to make it. It's either all of grace or it's all of works. If you try to get to heaven on works, you've got to be holy from the cradle to the grave. Because one sin is all it takes to kill that spirit. And then it's dead. Now let's look at the decision. Verse 22 again. For as in Adam all die, even so, now look at this, in Christ shall all be made alive. I want you to see something. Before the foundation of the world, the Bible says Jesus was the Lamb that was slain. God the Father had already decided what he was going to do before the foundation of the world. He knows everything, the end from the beginning. He knew exactly what was going to take place, that Adam and Eve were going to eat the forbidden fruit, that they were going to die, and everybody then would become sinful by nature. And that he was going to send a redeemer to save everyone. And so here he makes two classes of people. And he says, in Adam, all die. Every one of them. In Adam, they're going to die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, the key is to move from Adam to the second Adam. Adam was the corporate head of all people. He was the one in which everybody was created. And in Adam, all died. Now, the same group of people has an opportunity to move into Christ, the second Adam, who would then be the one in whom all of us live. You say, well, how do I move from this group to that group? Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, Jesus is the door. We have to enter in through Christ into Christ. It is in Christ that we have our life. It is in Christ that we have the power to live. Everything that has to do with our relationship to God is in Christ Jesus. Listen to what he says here. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The welcome that Jesus extends to us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus invites us. This morning, if you are burdened because of a lost condition, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. So many times people say, well, I don't think I can live up to it. You know what? You can't. But thank God you don't have to. Somebody says, well, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm a bad person. Amen. You are. But thank God Jesus was good. And he offers salvation as a free gift. Anybody can take a free gift. We cannot help Jesus save us. He doesn't need our help. Jesus is a Savior that can save to the uttermost because he has paid the entire debt. He is just and the justifier of everyone who put their trust in him. Now let's look at the wind. We have the welcome. What about the wind? John 3, 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, for years, I thought, well, that doesn't fit. The conversation seemed like it just took a right turn right there. But you see, Jesus knew what he came for. He knew that he was asking him, how do you get into the kingdom? I know you're from God. I want to follow you, but I have no idea how to do it. He said, you got to be born again. That went right over Nicodemus' head, just like it would have ours if we didn't know the truth. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a good question. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now listen, verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, if you read that in the Greek language, the same word for wind and spirit is pneumos. He's saying the Spirit does this. You have nothing to do but to receive it. And the Spirit applies it in your life. You can't see what's happening, but he comes in. And he makes that work happen. And he says, just like the wind blows where it wants to blow, so the Holy Spirit does whatever he wants to do. And whenever we put our trust in Jesus, he will work that new birth right there in our life. We don't have to understand how to do it. We don't have to go through the semantics of it. We just have to say, Lord, save me, and he'll save you. I remember there was a young boy. I used to have a bus route years ago, and we picked this little boy up every Sunday, brought him to church, and he listened to the preaching. One day he went forward during the invitation. And so the pastor knew that I had established a relationship with him, and he called me. He said, I want you to talk to this young man. Well, he was the first one that I had ever had a chance to just one-on-one to witness to a child. And so I was going through everything, what he had to do for us, what he needed to confess and all that stuff. And so I said, you ready to pray? He said, yes. He got on his knees. He said, Lord, save me. That's all it took. You know, I'm here trying to make sure he gets all this stuff, all his ducks in a row. God just says, call on me and I'll answer. Call on me and I'll answer. You see, the Spirit's ready. Here's what you have to know. If you're here without Jesus this morning, Jesus wants to save you. The Spirit is right there ready. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth, which is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, boom, the Holy Spirit is going to work new birth in your heart. He's standing ready. He wants to do it. You don't have to beg God. Just receive Christ as your Savior. Now, what about the rest of us? What about those of us who are saved, but we've got problems? We've got difficulties. I want you to know in Christ Jesus, there's freedom. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you free this morning? Are you free? If you have freedom to live your life in Christ Jesus, and you can overcome when the troubles come, it's because of the Spirit that dwells within you. But you see, the same faith that saves us sanctifies us. And we have to call upon the name of the Lord like a little child. When trouble comes, we say, Lord, here's your trouble. He said, casting all your care upon me, because he cares for us. We have loved ones that have strayed away, and we get upset and anxious about them. What are we supposed to do with that? We lay them at the feet of Jesus. Cast those cares on him. We get into financial trouble. What do? We bring it and we cast it at the feet of Jesus. Whatever God wants to do in our lives, he will do. We belong to him. Listen, we're bought with a price. We're not our own. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a refund. I'm thankful that Jesus owns me, lock, stock, and barrel, and whatever he wants for me is the best for me. God is in charge. Now let's look at the water. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now this works in salvation. It works in sanctification. Do you want more in your life of the power of God? Ask him for it. You want more wisdom? Ask him for it. Do you want victory over sin in your life? Ask him for it. Let me tell you something. Did you know that there is not a sin in your life that can overcome you? Not a single sin. Now the devil would have you believe otherwise. Amen. He would like for you to believe that he can take you captive anytime he wants to. But Jesus said, sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, you're under grace. There's a new law working in us. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it has set us free from the law of sin and death. So now we can depend on God to live his life through us. And as we live in Christ by faith, you say, I don't know if I'm in Christ or not. Just believe that you are. You see, what he says is, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Now, the word reckon is faith. You see, I know I'm going to heaven because I reckon myself to be saved. You know why I reckon myself to be saved? Because I did what Jesus told me to do. Amen. He said, put your trust in me and I'll save you. Yes. I did that. So I reckon myself to be saved. Yes. But you see, now he has also said that he is our life. He's not just our eternal life. He is our life now, every day. Yes. He says, reckon yourself to be dead to sin, alive to God. That's where faith comes in. Now the just shall live by faith. How do we do that? We have to understand. If God took his grace off of our life, we would self-destruct. Understanding that is step number one. You see, we're not partly good and partly bad after the flesh. We're altogether bad. Jesus said, there's none good but one, and that's God. Now, knowing that keeps us from trying to help God. Because God doesn't need our help. When we understand that the only victory that there is in Christ, then we don't take credit for the victory that we see in our life. When you go for 20 minutes and you haven't sinned, don't say, boy, I'm doing pretty good. See, why? Because then you're taking credit for what God is doing. All the years that I have lived as a Christian, a lot of those years were struggles because I was trying to help God make me good. But I have found from his word that the only goodness in me is Jesus in me, which is my hope of glory. When Jesus takes over in your life, you are clean. Amen. You are good. You are free. So now you say, well, how do I get that? Just believe it's true. Hebrews chapter 3 says, we are his house, his building, if we hold the confidence and rejoicing of our hope firm unto the end. You see, I am today what God has made me. Amen. You are today what God has made you. Amen. He will not force his grace upon you any more than he will force salvation upon somebody. But as you reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God, he will work his work in you. It is not him helping you. It is him living his life through you. And we have the opportunity to do that. There's no reason that every one of us can't leave here today without victory. Amen. Every one of us can have victory when we walk out those doors. Amen. Complete victory. Amen. To whatever extent we believe. You say, well, I'm lost. God can fix that. I'm a sinner. God can fix that. I worry. God can fix that. I have anxiety. God can fix that. Whatever you have as a problem, the Lord says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says here, if you want living water, drink it freely. It's yours. I love that. You say, oh, so some of you are sitting here this morning saying, oh, I wish I could have that life. I wish I could just live free. I wish I could be young. You can. He says, if any man is thirsty, let him drink the water of life freely. That means it don't matter. You don't have to qualify. If you had to qualify, we would all be disqualified. He said, freely. Jesus is standing here this morning. And he sent me to tell you he wants to give you victory. If you're lost, he wants to save you and give you victory. If you're saved, he just wants to give you victory. Complete victory. then he says, you believe that? Do you believe that I can do it? Remember what God told Sarah whenever he said that she was going to have a baby when she was about 90 years old? She laughed. Even named her son Laughter. That's what Isaac means. And the Lord said, why do you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Who laughed? She might not have laughed out loud, but God knew her heart. He said, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? Now I want you to think about your situation. Whatever trouble you're facing, whatever trial, whatever temptation, whatever struggle, whatever disappointment, and you ask yourself, is there anything too hard for God? And I'm going to tell you the answer. It's no. God can do anything but fail. And I want you to know Jesus wants to set you free way more than you want to be free. He's standing just ready. The Holy Spirit is right here. And just as in salvation, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, which is the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be delivered. You'll be set free. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace, your wonderful Holy Spirit, your wonderful mercy that sets us free. Lord, I pray for everyone here that's in bondage this morning, that we would all leave here free. If there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, that you would save them by your grace. Promise that your word will not return void, but will accomplish that for which you sent it. Lord, you know your purpose. You know what you're doing. I'm just the messenger. The message is yours. And you apply it to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.